Yeah, I've got something. I'm part of different Bible studies. Jim, one of them. Gene Curtis, and anyway, something that I've always felt really fortunate about is they love me enough to tell me when I'm wrong.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on November 27, 2024, and is titled, Outside the Camp. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
And you know, that Curtis really doesn't mind. He really tells me when I'm wrong. But, yeah, do you love somebody enough to tell them they're wrong? And yeah, I've got some good friends that do, and we've had some great discussions. And, yeah, you have to repent, but if you don't have those friends, you need to find them.
And that's what this friend the Bible is. You know, this Bible will tell you when you're doing wrong. If you'll keep looking, you might even find something you're doing right. Yes, best friend you got. And so this morning when I was that guy, he was so sincere, and you could tell he had a lot of miles on the speedometer. 70 years in the ministry. And his only advice, he said, read your Bible more and pray more. And I thought, man. So what my point in that was, what I started a minute ago, because he said something in there, and he said, most preachers read their Bible looking for a message. They're going to build a message. I've done that to y'all multiple times over the last 22 years. I've done that a lot. You know, it's Wednesday. Got to come up with something. Pray about it. Find you something relevant in here. It works a lot better when I did like this last week. I've done most time. I get up looking in my Bible so that my friend Jesus will minister to me. And there was plenty for him to talk about. And so in his ministering to me, all I have to do is give testimony. Here's what the Word of God did with a knucklehead this week to keep him usable, not to keep me in heaven, to keep me usable. Because if I'll keep on with the same attitudes, if I'll keep feeding a root of bitterness, if I'll continue on in unforgiveness, my thankfulness will be phony, fake. My love will be phony, fake. It won't be real. We'll just be doing what Christians do. When I look in this book every day and say, Lord, where am I at? I'll always have something to say if I'm not afraid to say it. I think that's the other problem. Nobody wants to admit they screw up. And if screwing up gets you fired, y'all been coming here way too long. I tried to get fired yesterday morning, nobody fired me. I tried real hard to get fired, and nobody fired me yesterday morning. You don't have to be perfect to do what you just did.
No, that's the best part about it. You, like I say, the devil comes in, he tries to tell you, you know, you're not good enough, things are going to go wrong, you don't know anybody, they won't accept you. I mean, how many of us have heard this over and over all our lives? Well, we're pretty good at hearing the devil, but do we hear Jesus when he's talking to us? I mean, the older I get, the better I'm listening to him. And he talks just as much or more than the evil one, but we're not clued into him a lot of times.
Sometimes the voice of evil is more attractive. The voice of evil creates drama. Creates all kinds of false narratives. You see, his father is the father of all lies. So he can even take truth and twist it around a little bit and make it sound pretty good. Tell you what your itching ears want to hear. That's why we're so, that's why Facebook and those things get so contagious sometimes. The whole news media realm, all everything that you watch with your eyes is all rooted in drama or some type of excitement to keep you interested. Maybe that's why the Bible kind of went away from our society. It's just not interesting enough. Well, I got some interesting stuff for you. Go over in Leviticus and read what they did to people who do the same things we do. That's interesting. That'll give you something to think about and keep you up at night. Just go over and think what it felt like to be stoned to death and different things like that, you know, circumcising males with it out in the country. Now there's something that's kind of exciting. So there's all kinds of drama and things you can dream up in the Bible. But
yeah, I think we've got a society hooked on drama these days.
We do.
And TV, I haven't watched TV in years, but I can remember one day I stepped in and Jackie was watching some sitcom, and I within 5 minutes they'd broken 5 of the 10 commandments. And I thought, you know, this is just, I mean, it's not for me.
Well, and just like your situation in North Carolina, this is a great example. Because now you have AI. And so that is artificial intelligence. Does anybody know what artificial is? It's like, yeah, it's like sugar that's not sugar. It's not sugar. I don't know what do they call that. Aspart some another, whatever that stuff is. What is it?
Aspartame,
yeah. No, it's supposed to be sugar. And, you know, there's nobody bakes a chocolate cake with aspartame. We put real sugar in there. But to false narratives. And so there was all kinds of things, because this really struck me when you got back and you said they were 98% back to normal. But in the conversations around this situation, you had people creating drama with false narratives, some of it true, some of it not, but creating drama when really all we needed to create was a house that was livable. It's so easy. If we're not careful, I used to preach this way. That's why you have 200 people at the altar every week. Now we don't, now not so much. Yeah. Get stirred up and fired up. They wanted me to come preach everywhere in the country because, boy, I'd get them stirred up and they'd come to the altar. You can come down here if you want to, and I'll be glad to pray with you, be glad to lead you to Jesus. I'm glad to do anything. I'll get that word for prophecy, whatever. It don't matter to me. But here's what really does matter to me if you're going outside the camp, even if it's not to North Carolina. Is there somebody outside the camp waiting on you? And it doesn't have to be huge. I mean, this morning, just to give a testimony. But I was up, and you know, me and old Ryder Jay, we're pretty tight. I'm his partner. It don't hurt for 18-year-old boys to have 64-year-old best friends. It's better than tying puppies to puppies. And anyhow, I pray for him a lot. He's at a tough age, and there's just a lot going on. We hang out a lot together. There's a horse that his family's been highly attached to and had a lot to do with, and they're just having a hard time getting any security about that horse. That horse belongs to another guy, or did, and he comes and goes, but we talk about him a lot. They're always kind of hoping that they're going to get him and this and that and the other. The guy that owns him, I never talked to him. I mean, never. But I bought one off that guy. And I really, really like him. So I'm interested in this guy's program now. Kind of, anyhow, long and short of it, This morning I spent a long time, I don't know how many, it seemed like a long time, praying for Ryder J. And at the end of my prayer, I said, Lord, if there's anything I can do for Ryder, because right now he's 18 years old and he wants a rope. He doesn't want to get married. He doesn't want to. There ain't none of that. So, oh, you know, maybe a little holding hands, maybe going. I mean, someday. But he's way behind on that one too. But he's which is good. It's a good place. But he knows what he wants to do, and he's becoming really good at it. And I think this horse is a key player in the thing. And I simply said, Lord, if there's anything I can do for Ryder, let me know. Wasn't just a little while. Halfway through the morning, I called this guy, not thinking about anything. He said, I was just about to call you because somebody told me you didn't like that horse you got off from me. I said, no, sir. I just called to tell you how happy I was to have him. Might be one of the nicest ones I've ever had my hands on. And we got to talking about his horse and his horse program. He's the guy that owns this horse that Ryder and them have had off and on. And everybody's just been wondering, his name's Calico. Everybody's just been wondering what might happen with Calico. Yada, yada, yada. And just out of the blue, I said, what are you going to do with old Calico? He said, well, I'm going to sell him. Well, he said the same thing to my family, and it caused a knot in their belly. Horses ain't cheap nowadays. And I said, really, you going to sell him? How much you want for him? He said, well, I can get this much for him, I think, when I put him up for sale. I said, is that what you want for him? Because you can get that much right now. And he said, yeah, I think so. And I said, would you sell him right now for that? He said, I believe I would. And I said, good, I'll be by to get him Friday morning. And I called my daughter because I didn't want to get tangled up in their business too much. But you got one guy over here changes his mind a lot, and then you got another guy over here that has a hard time making up his mind, and then you got me. I'll make my mind up like right now, and if I get it wrong, good, we'll just decide something else three more times until we get it right. That's fine with me. I've been wrong before, so I don't care. I just knew I wanted that horse for that boy. I called Casey, and I said, I bought old Calico a little while ago, and he's coming home Friday. He's going to live at my house, and he's going to be Ryder J's. Big deal. It was a big deal. Now, that's a dumb little old story. But when's the last time you got up in the morning and you prayed for somebody by name, but at the end of it, you said, what can I do for him? And then just overjoyed to put your money where your mouth is. Because old Calico wasn't cheap. Hey, he looks cheap to me. I think he's cheap, but I like him. I'd rather have a good horse than money any old day. But just sat there praying, and it didn't dawn on me till I got plumb done with the deal. And I thought, Lord, I just asked you this morning. I know an 18-year-old boy tomorrow, when they ask him what he's thankful for, even if he doesn't say it out loud, he come and sat with me a while ago, and we were sitting out there in the buggy and just talking a minute. And I said, so what about old Calico? He said, oh, Papa. He said, my mama cried, and she said, we're just so happy. We're just happy to have old Calico. It's that simple. Outside the camp, make yourself available. Show up. Buying a horse that I'll never ride. made me so excited this morning. I just giddy. Them good horses like Lay's potato chips. I run in there and told Robin, I said, I got old Calico a minute ago. We got him. We got him. And he's got some more colts down there. We can get them too. I thought we might just drive down there and get some more. And but I'm not going to. We'll put the brakes on. But
yeah, that look says no.
Yeah. When she kind of shuts them eyes, purses them lips, you know, we've kind of stepped over the traces a little bit. But it's just a goofy little old story. But that's at our house. So what's the story at your house? Maybe you don't go to North Carolina. But it all starts with sitting at home and praying. Just like you, Lord, asking God, hey, I think we might want to go over. What do you think, Lord? What do you think? And he sets it up. You do it. You pay for it out of your own pocket. Go where and do it. You know? So anyhow, you got anything else you want to tell
them? No, maybe just try it. Like I say, if you get a chance, go do something like that. You'll never regret it. It's good stuff.
Yep. And I'll tell you something else. We've got a new opportunity. I mean, a lot of you have involved yourself over here at the food pantry. All those are opportunities, not just to serve in that thing, but you meet people and you can see people. But I guarantee you now we can start slowly, not making ourselves in the way, but this thrift store down here, man, there's a lot of work to be done. There's going to be a lot of stuff to do down there and a lot of opportunity down there. And so, you know, people looking for opportunities and places to hang out, and there's another good little spot. And you might meet somebody you want to pray for while you're there. And it might make you thankful to be there. So, is that it?
That's all I got.
All right, thank you. That was good tonight. So anybody got anything else tonight? Anything you want to share right quick before we bust out of here and go get fat? Huh? All right, that's good. Let's pray and we'll be done. Lord, we just want to thank you again tonight, Lord. Thankfulness is the theme of the day, Lord, but it should be the theme of life. Lord, help us all to do better. Spend more time in prayer, more time in your word, more time making ourselves available. We do pray for those less fortunate than ourselves. That, Lord, opportunity will present itself. That, God, we can be an answer to somebody's prayers. That, Lord, we can be a blessing to you. Lord, you have truly blessed so many of us in this group. And so we just want to thank you and give you praise. We thank you for our families, our community, our country. Thank you for this little fellowship that covers the globe, Lord. We're not that big a family, but we're pretty spread out. Lord, I just pray that you'll use us. Use us for the good of your people and for your glory. We love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.